Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll get into Ephesians 6 here in a minute, but I want to start this morning by sharing with you a story about an American soldier and something that he experienced years ago when he was in the Vietnam War. His name was Don Snow, and he had only been in Vietnam for a very short time, but he was about to embark upon his first night mission. Now, dealing with the challenges of war during the day can be bad enough, right? But now you're in an unknown place in the dark, and we all know how our mind plays tricks with us in the dark, right? We see shadows or things moving that may or may not really be there. Well, there in the middle of the night, Don and his team found themselves in this rundown village that seemed to be abandoned. And he shares how he found himself maneuvering through the area, coming up alongside a fence. And as he's leaning against this fence, he's hearing artillery going off in the distance. He's hearing all these different noises around him. And then suddenly, there's a quiet pause. And as he takes a deep breath, he suddenly hears a deep breath on the other side of the fence. So now his heart begins to race even more rapidly than it had been racing before. And all sorts of questions start flowing through his mind. Who's on the other side of this fence? How many are there on the other side of this fence? What kind of weapon do they have? All sorts of things were racing through his head. And so with his heart racing, he takes a step down towards the end of the fence. And as he hears, as he takes a step, he hears a step on the other side. So at this time, all sorts of thoughts begin to rush through his head. This is what you were trained for, Don. I guess it's either me or them. And so he flips the safety off of his M2 carbine rifle as he inches his way to the edge of the fence. And as he pauses for a moment, he again hears that deep breath on the other side. And he realizes that he has got to make the first move. He has got to get the jump if he wants to come out of this thing alive. And so he counts to three in his head. One, two, and on three, he jumps out around the fence and he gets his rifle blazing. Right? And unbeknownst to him, Don had just killed one of the largest pigs he had ever seen in his life. Now the sad thing is, this pig never knew what hit him. As a matter of fact, the pig didn't even know that he was smack dab in the middle of a war. And the thing is, there are many people in our world, and maybe even some of us in the room here today, that are just like that pig, right? Oblivious to the fact that there is a battle that is raging all around us. And so today, we're starting another series within a series simply titled, The Armor of God. Now, if you've been with us, you know that we've been in a larger series that has been taking us on a journey through the Bible, through the Scriptures. And as we've come to the end of Ephesians, I felt like the Lord wanted us to take some time to focus on the armor of God that Paul references here in Ephesians chapter 6. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read our scripture, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. This is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul concludes Ephesians here by reminding us that we are engaged in a great spiritual battle. And it's not a battle against flesh and blood, which means it's not against others, right? I talked about that earlier. We don't want to fight against one another. It's not against others. It's a battle against the powers and authorities of this dark world. I love what our pastors in Newburgh used to say. Even when things with other people arose, they said it's not personal. It's spiritual. It's a battle against the powers and authorities of the enemy. And the only way for us to experience victory in this kind of battle is with the spiritual armor of God, the armor of the Lord. And so Paul tells us here to put on the armor, put on the full armor of God. Now, if you remember, as we talked about, Paul wrote Ephesians while he was in prison, while he was under house arrest in Rome. And so he had a Roman soldier that was guarding him at all times. And every day he would see this soldier. He would see the soldier's uniform and the armor that these soldiers wore. And Paul knew the importance of each part of that uniform, each part of that armor, and how it protected the soldier. And so Paul paints a beautiful picture here of the armor that protected the soldier. And he's able to relate that physical armor to the spiritual armor that we actually need to protect us, that we need to clothe ourselves with to prepare us for the spiritual battles that rage all around us, right? We don't want to be like the pig caught in a battle that we don't know and destroyed. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at the different aspects of God's armor that will actually help us in this spiritual battle. And so Paul starts off here with a key element to the armor. Verse 14 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." In these days, men wore longer garments, and the belt was used to kind of help hold these garments so that the soldiers would not trip over them. The belt was also kind of the central part of the armor that basically held everything together. It actually ran through the breastplate so that the breastplate stayed in place during battle. And it also then held the soldier's sword that they would use. And so without this belt, the soldier's armor would literally kind of be flipping and flopping all over the place in the midst of battle and would make it very hard to fight. And so Paul tells us to put on the belt of truth because the belt of truth holds all the other components of our spiritual armor in place. Because without the truth, does anything else really matter? Without the truth, then our lives are really just simply a lie. And so to fight in this battle with confidence, we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth that God has for us. And the Bible tells us that the truth will do what? The truth will set us free, right? In John 8:44, it says this: "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, Jesus, of course, is talking about Satan here. He's telling us the truth about the devil. This is why it's so important that we know the truth. Because Satan's favorite thing to do is to deceive us. It is to fill our heads with all sorts of lies. He loves to whisper things in our ears. Things like, you're not worthy. Nobody loves you. Come on, you'll never amount to anything. How could God love a sinner like you? God forgives, but what you've done, that's beyond forgiveness. You're a failure. Come on, you know it. You're a failure and you always will be. You might as well just give up. These are the kinds of things that the devil loves to speak into our lives. Or sometimes he'll kind of turn it the other way, right? And he'll say things like, oh, you're good. You're good. You don't have to listen to this stuff. You've got it all together, right? Why do you need to listen to other people's advice? They should be taking advice for you. As a matter of fact, you should tell them how they should live. Look at them. You're better than them. Point it out. Show them all the areas where they're falling short. Right? These are the kinds of lies the enemy uses. Because like the scripture says, he is a liar. He operates in lies and he loves to lie. He's a deceiver. And he's not just a liar. He's actually a pretty smart liar. He's a deceiver who likes to twist and manipulate the truth just enough to make it seem like it's believable, right? And he makes things that he'll take scripture and he'll use it in ways that it sounds right, but he's twisted it just enough to where it's not anymore. He'll even manipulate scripture and pull it out of context at times. And show you, well, look, this supports the lie that I'm showing you. And we'll go, oh, yeah. Well, it's in the Bible, right? But we don't realize the little twists and turns. And so the question is, how do we know what's true? How do we know the lies of the enemy versus the truth of God? I know I've shared this with you before, but it's one of the best analogies I've heard about spotting a counterfeit. At a Bible study years ago, a friend shared about his son being a banker. And he shared that when they were training him as a banker to actually spot counterfeits, they didn't show him a bunch of different types of counterfeits. Instead, they just had him touch and handle and feel and look at the real stuff again and again and again. And after days and weeks and hours of continuing to handle the real cash, they would then try to slip these counterfeits in on them. And they would immediately detect them because they were like, whoa, wait, something's different here. This isn't right. Something's off. It feels different. It looks different. Something just isn't the same. And I think this is a great example of how we can learn to identify the lies of the enemy. Because the more and more we fill ourselves with the truth, right? The more and more we fill ourselves with the things of the Lord, the more we experience God in our lives. And the easier it will be to recognize those things that aren't the Lord. Those lies that are of the enemy. You see, we need to be people who are seeking the truth. We need to be desperate for the Lord to reveal His truth in our lives, especially in today's world, especially in the times that we're living right now. It seems almost impossible to know who's telling the truth, right? The lies and manipulation are coming from every single direction. The people that we used to think we can trust, we can't trust anymore. The enemy is a liar. And he's a smart liar, and he loves to use others to bring those lies. And knowing the truth is one of the ways that we'll be able to battle against the attacks of the enemy. So how do we fill our lives with the truth? I think there are two simple answers. The one is right here. It's the Bible, right? It's the Word of God. Psalm 119:160 says this: all your words are true. Or some translations say the entirety of your word is truth. And it's speaking about the words of God, that they're true. We need to be reading His word. We need to be going to the source. If we want the truth, this is truth. And so we have to open up the truth and allow God to speak His truth in our life. We need to be asking the Lord to reveal these things on a regular basis. And the truth is if we're only opening this thing on Sunday mornings, or maybe we're not even opening, we're just allowing me up here to open it for us on Sunday mornings. If that's the only time we're opening it, then we're missing out. We're not really experiencing the truth that we need to be experiencing, and we're making ourselves vulnerable to the lies of the enemy. The only way we're going to know it, and the only way we're going to know the truth, is by reading it, by getting it into our hearts, right? Talks about that in Exodus, right? Getting it into our hearts, reading it, allowing God to speak to us so that we know it. And this goes hand in hand with the second way that we know the truth, which it's through His Word and then through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says this: but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Last week, we actually talked about being filled with the Spirit, if you were here. And the Holy Spirit is our direct connection to the Lord. It's our direct connection to the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so as we seek the Lord and spend time in His presence, it allows the Holy Spirit to reveal His truth to us through His Scriptures. They go hand in hand. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So it's not just enough to read this. We need the Spirit as well. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us discern His Word and see the truth that God is wanting to reveal to each of us. It's through God's Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to see the truth and know the truth that God has for us. And knowing the truth is one of the ways that we'll be able to stand against these attacks of the enemy that we face in this spiritual battle. And so one of the most important questions that I think we have to ask ourselves, and this may sound like a dumb question, but the question is, do we really want to know the truth? Do we really want to know the truth? You see, we live in a world where the motto is, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission, right? And so do we really want to know the truth? I think many of us, or many in the world, don't really want to know the truth. We don't want to be told to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Wait, what? No. We don't want to be told that we're supposed to honor and respect those who have been given authority over us. You mean I gotta respect my boss? That guy's an idiot. I know Sheila says that all the time. We don't want to be told that premarital sex is a sin. We don't want to be told that the life we're living might not be pleasing to the Lord. We don't want to be told that we need to change, because we think it's easier to ask forgiveness than to really know the truth. But the truth is, the enemy is experiencing victory in many areas of our lives because we're failing to put on this piece of armor known as truth. Knowing the truth can be difficult, right? Because it means now we have to live it out. But knowing the truth is what will help us experience victory in our lives. Because anything but truth will ultimately lead down the road to failure, will ultimately lead to struggles and difficulties that will be far greater than learning to walk in the truth in the first place. You know, whether we realize it or not, it's always easier to do things the right way first. May not seem like it, but it's true. But let me give you a little illustration here to help you understand what I'm talking about. I'm sure no one in this room will be able to relate to this illustration, men. This family is heading out on a little trip. And this is before the days of cell phones or GPSs, okay? And so what does the wife do? The wife grabs a map, and as they begin their journey, she offers the map to her husband. And of course he replies saying, "I don't need no stinking map. Who do you think I am? I'm a guy. I know where I'm going." But what ends up happening, right? He misses a turn, gets a little turned around. Now, he's a guy, so he doesn't say anything, of course, right? He just acts like he knows what he's doing. Now, his wife isn't fooled, and after passing the same tree for the third time, she says, "Are you sure you don't want to use the map here? It's right here." And so finally, after a fourth time of passing that same tree, he finally caves in and decides to at least look at the map, right? But the thing is, he's so lost now that he can't even figure out where he is on the map. And as he looks all wide-eyed and flustered, staring at the map, turning it this way and that, his wife says those words no man wants to hear: "Why don't you just ask for some directions?" No, I'm fine. I just got to get my bearings, right? But after wandering around for another 10 to 15 minutes, he finally does what no man ever wants to do. He pulls over and asks someone for directions. And after being lost and unable to find the way on his own, with a little guidance and the map, they finally arrive at their destination. Sound familiar? Not just in driving places, but just in life, right? We try to do things on our own and we get lost. You see, when we fail to take time to read the map, right, and ask for advice through the Holy Spirit, we end up lost and way off course. And the reality is, it ends up taking us twice as long to get to where we were trying to get in the first place. You see, God has given us His Word. He has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, to help us know His truth. But we have to want to know the truth. And we have to be willing to seek out the truth. And not only is it important that we know the truth, it's also important then that we become people of truth. Because not only does the enemy try to deceive us, but he tries to manipulate us and use us to deceive others. You know, I don't think any of us in this room like to be lied to, right? Anyone in here like to be lied to? I don't think anyone here likes to be lied to. And so think about that. If we do unto others the way we would have them do unto us, then we should be honest and truthful with others. Proverbs 21:8 says this, a lying witness is unconvincing. A person who speaks truth is respected. That's why Stacy used to always tell our kids, the most important thing is honesty. The most important thing is that I can trust you, that I can trust the things that you say. Because when we speak truth, it's respected. But the fact is, Satan would desire nothing more than to destroy our credibility. As followers of Christ, Satan wants to destroy our witness. Think about it. If you're a witness in a court case, and the defense can destroy your credibility, what does that do to your testimony? Right? It ruins your testimony. It makes it worthless. And if the enemy can destroy our credibility, then he can ruin our witness for the Lord. And one of the enemy's biggest deceptions is to tell us that lying is okay. To convince us that it's not that big of a deal, especially those little white lies. Come on, who are they going to hurt, right? But we all know they start off little and they grow and grow and grow, right? Let me share with you some statistics and information that I read recently. It said this, lying seems to be a way of life for many people. There are those that lie at the drop of a hat. The book titled The Day America Told the Truth says that 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about matters they consider trivial, right? Those are those little white lies. 91% people tell the little white lies. 36% lie about extremely important matters. But then it breaks down this way. 86% lie regularly to their parents, right? Now some of you teens in here are like, that's not me. I'm on the other flip side of that. I'm the 34% on the other side. 75% lie to their friends. 73% lie to their siblings. And 69% to their spouses or partners. The reality is, for many of us, lying is something that actually comes natural, right? Because we were born in a fallen, broken world, right? When that first time mommy says, who did it? What do we say? Not me. I didn't do it, mama. Right? We are naturally drawn. And for many of us, it just comes natural. But the thing is, sooner or later, if we don't correct that, it will bite us in the rear. Let me share one other funny illustration with you this morning. The story is told of four high school boys who couldn't resist the temptation to skip their morning classes. Each of them seemed to have a bad case of spring fever, and so they went and played at the lake. After lunch, they showed up at school and reported to the teacher that their car got a flat tire on the way to school, and that's why they were late. Much to their relief, the teacher smiled and said, well, no worries, you guys just missed a little quiz, so I'm going to have you take it here real quickly. Go to your seats, grab a paper and pencil, and get ready for the quiz. Still smiling, she waited as they settled down and got ready for her questions. Then she said, first and only question, which tire was it that was flat? Ooh, they probably didn't work on that one on the way into class, right? The point there is, sooner or later, the truth comes out. And when it does, we lose credibility with those around us. God has called us to a life of truth. And that truth will help us in our battle against the enemy, in this spiritual battle that rages on. Each day we need to be putting on that armor of truth to protect us from the attacks of the enemy, because God's spiritual armor will protect us in the midst of these battles. And I believe it will actually prevent us at times from experiencing some of those battles. It'll keep us out of the battles, because when we walk in truth, it does two things. One, it keeps us from falling into the traps of the enemy, right? When we know the truth, it keeps us from falling into the enemy's traps. And number two, it actually keeps us from then trapping ourselves. When we don't lie, when we tell truth, it keeps us from trapping ourselves. Like it tells us in John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The reality is, His truth brings freedom to our lives, and His desire is that we would walk in that truth, that we would put on that belt of truth every day. Because one of the greatest ways we can protect ourselves in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in is to seek the truth, right? God's truth above all other else. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. As we dive in here to Ephesians, Lord, I really believe that there is power in understanding the armor of God. And Lord, it's not a physical thing that we put on. It's something that comes from Your Spirit that's in us. It again has to do with us stirring up the things of Your Spirit. Lord, Your Spirit is truth. You are truth. And so as believers who have Your Spirit in us, Your desire is that we would stir up that truth, Lord Jesus, in our lives. And so we thank You for the armor that You've given us, these things that enable us to battle against the enemy. The enemy loves to deceive. The enemy loves to tempt us and to twist things and to pull us in different directions. But if we can know the truth, it's easy for us to say, Satan, get behind me. Those are lies. And so, Lord, help us to be people who walk in Your truth, who are able to identify Your truth, Lord. And if there are areas where we're struggling with what is truth, Lord, help us to get on our face. Help us to open up Your Word and to seek Your Spirit in ways that enable us to truly hear Your truth in our lives, Lord. Right now, the enemy is whispering all sorts of lies to all of us, Lord, in this world that we live in, trying to tell us all sorts of things to cause division and to cause struggles and challenges in our lives. And so, Lord, we want to be people who know the truth. We want to be people who walk in the truth so that we can overcome the attacks of the enemy, so that we can live the lives that You've called us to live, so that we can walk in victory through You, Lord. And so, Lord, may we be people who engage Your Spirit. May we be people who daily are putting on this armor, that we are dedicating ourselves to be people who don't just seek to know the truth, but who walk in truth, Lord, with others. That we aren't deceiving others with the words that come out of our mouths, but that, Lord, we too would speak truth. And so, Lord, in these times, we need truth more than anything. And so help us to grow in Your truth, Lord. Help us to receive Your truth. Help us to be able to discern through the power of Your Spirit that which is truth and that which is lies, Lord. We give You this word. Speak to each of us where we're at. Lord, what is it that You want to speak to us this morning through Your word? What is it that You want to speak to us as individuals, Lord? There are things that we can all learn, but there are things that You're speaking to each of us individually. Lord, may we grab hold of those things and begin to see those things change in our lives, Lord. You are a God that is about transformation, Lord, that we come as we are. And as we come as we are, as we're open to You, Lord, You begin to then change us from the inside out. And we want to be people who are changed, to be people who walk in truth, who see the truth and who live the truth out every day. So we give You all these things. We pray them in Your precious name, Lord. Together we said, Amen.